on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
24 to 11, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for On The Pace, and we welcome the man who left the Northern Hemisphere. And that caused Lazarus to get beaten. That's the way he's going to be known for the rest of his days. Greg Hayes, morning, Hazy.
Good morning, mate. Yeah, hoping to be back there in a week and a half. And how's your next start at Hoosier Park? If everything's okay. I've got a bit of a bad story to tell this morning, unfortunately. A sparkling success. The next Australian horse that was ready to go across to the United States of America and... well, it could have been. He won on Saturday night in the Maori's Idol Trotters Free-for-All. It may have been his last start in Australia. And it looked as though he had a very bright future ahead of him with a start in the $1 million international trot that he'd earned with a win in the Great Southern Star and also a win in the Maori Mile at Bendigo. And everything was looking good. And I was down there doing a story with his owners and trainer, John and Mary Mead, yesterday. And shot the story. Everything was good. Left the property. Got back to the Melbourne airport. 2.5 hours later, get a phone call. The horse has broken down. The horse is now not going to America. So absolutely dreadful news for John and Mary Mead. To John's absolute credit, he's going to join me this morning to have a chat about what's happened. And to be fair to John, there's obviously been a problem. It was more of a gut instinct. I'll let John tell the story, but there's obviously been an issue, and John was keeping things a little bit close to his chest. He didn't say anything yesterday to me, which was fair enough, as we were shooting the story. But they were waiting for results of a scan. The scan hasn't come back in with a good result, and the decision has been made to knock back the invitation to America. And best case scenario is that he's got 15 months on the sideline, but he is a wonderful trotter, and John Mead is a very special gentleman. Met him for the first time yesterday. He's a dairy farmer from down in Victoria. He milked his last cow yesterday. He's officially retired from dairy farming. He sold his cows, and he's going into semi-retirement, and definitely from the dairy farming side of things anyway. He's going to probably look to get a few more horses, and there's enough on the farm to keep him busy, but no more dairy farming. And we'll catch up with John on the show this morning. So we'll talk about that. Also today, I want to speak with Tim Butt. Now, one of the weirdest nominations, a lot of people were scratching their heads, when Better Match was nominated for the New Zealand Cup. Nominations closed last week, or the nominations were released last week, and everyone was going, Better Match was nominated for the New Zealand Cup. That's a really strange one. Cole Thomas, the trainer and the owner, they were sought. Did you nominate? No. There was no nomination. But what was happening in the background, and a lot of people didn't know the machinations, what was going on, there was a deal that was trying to be sought out between the owners and Tim Butt and his clients to purchase the horse, to take the horse. And as a result, there was a nomination thrown in by the prospective new owners of the horse to have him in the New Zealand Cup. Nominate to make sure they're in it. So we're going to catch up with Tim Butt this morning. He can tell us that story. And I also thought we best touch on what's happening in New Zealand. You might remember this time last week, I mentioned that there was something happening in New Zealand. We didn't have a lot to go on at the time. I spoke with Mick Guerin, or got in contact with him prior to the show, asked him to come onto the show, and he said, look, it's basically a moving monster at the moment. We don't know what's happening. I'd be going off half-cocked. How about I come on next week once everything has come out and we'll have a chat? Obviously, some people are in court today. There is name suppressions in place. So we'll get Mick on, and Mick will say what he can. Also want to have a chat. Addington doing a really strange thing on Friday night at the harness meeting. They decided to bar all non-racing media. Really, really strange one in a situation where obviously harness racing is under the pump. There's no doubt about that in New Zealand, but to then basically slap a media ban on all bar the racing media, to me, just puts a big circle around the racing again, because all of a sudden, well, why won't you let us in? It just, to me, you just open slather, open your books, let everyone see, and hopefully that will let the media then move on to something else. But by slapping a ban on, you're in fact inflaming the situation. But we'll talk more about that with Mick Guerin on the show as well. But I promised John Mead would be a guest on the show, and I do thank him for joining me this morning. It would be a really, really tough time for him, and he's joining me to have a chat about his Star Trotter sparkling success. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Mate, I'm okay, but I would suggest that you... we spoke yesterday, and during the interview you said you'd had a couple of sleepless nights in the last, you know, couple of months in the lead-up to America. I'm tipping you didn't do much sleeping overnight.
Last night I slept pretty well.
Did you?
But the night before I didn't sleep. The last couple of nights before that I didn't sleep very well.
Hmm.
Because I had a bit of an inkling there was a little bit of a problem. And I couldn't bring myself to take that horse to America without getting me vet to check him out, which I didn't have to do. And I think you and your cameraman, and you'll, if you play that segment on the gig, you'll, no one will see he was lame. Mm. He wasn't lame. But I just thought there was a problem, and I had to get him checked out because I just, I've actually told the bloke from Queensland, I've been on the Royals up there, I think, this morning, and I just said, no, I just couldn't bring myself to ripping someone off.
What was the gut instinct that told you that there might have been something wrong? Was it something in the horse's demeanour? As you said, he wasn't lame, and I, you know, I had the chance to see him yesterday. He was quite happy, and he was interested in eating, and he wanted, there was plenty of green grass down there in dairy, in the dairy area, and he was desperate to get into that green grass. So he's a happy horse. So what made you think that something might have been wrong?
There was just a slight bit of a slight filling on the suspensory. It had been there a few days, and there was this slight filling, and I thought for one stage it might have been a bit of sort of dermatitis he picked up from boot rub. I treated him for that, and on Saturday night when I put his shin boots on, he felt really good, and he raced well. No lameness, driver was happy, but I did tell the driver on Saturday night that I thought I might have a problem.
Yep.
He was the only one I told on Saturday night. I had to tell my wife because she was travelling with me, and when we got home, the stables were about 600 metres from the other house, and she had to come up with me because we were in the car together. So I had to tell her. I couldn't go and start treating this horse without telling her what I thought was wrong. And he treated him, and on Sunday morning, I gets up and washed the swell down off, and, you know, looked really good, felt good, wasn't sore. And I still had the gut feeling that, now, and this little horse is tough, as everyone that's seen him race will know how tough he is. Like, you don't sit in the desk for 1,600 metres in the group one against the best horses in Australasia and win and not be tough, and he's tough, and... yeah, that's what my vet said. He's one tough little cookie, and he scanned him and sent their scans away, and we made the call, and I feel sad but very relieved that I've done the right thing by by the Yonkers and by the betting public and everyone I think could. So that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, because basically reading an article last night after the story broke, it was a situation where you could go and he could be okay, but you could go and he could get 300 or 400 metres into the race and it could be all over for him. So it was a decision for you to make, and you've taken the horse's best interests into hand here.
Not only the horse's best interests, like, it's not my money that though if I was spending going to America. It's someone else's money.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't rip someone off for $70,000 just and not give them some miles. Like, I don't think there's many people in harness racing that would do that. There's probably a few, but I just couldn't bring myself to sending this horse over there thinking that, I couldn't. There was a chance, the vet said, there's a slight chance he might have got through it, but we had to do another month's work. And If the race was on today or like on next Saturday night, we probably would have raced him. But we have to do another month's work in America, and we had to trial him to get him used to the Yonkers track. And he just said, no, not on. Like, you know, he could break down that bad that we had to put him down.
And he is he's a very special horse to your family, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the same problem that he had after he won the four-year-old Vic Bred?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not?
Definitely not. That was on the other leg. But his breed, that if you, anyone knows the way he trots, when he's going at flat speed, his front feet stick out past his nose. When he stretches out, and it just puts immense pressure on the shin, on the tendons and the suspensories. And his breed have had a little bit of problem with that, but his breed win a lot of races. So what do you want to do? Do you want to race horses that, with a chance of breaking down, that win races, or ones that go slow and don't win any races? I prefer to get through the bad times to get a few good times, and I'm going to stick with his breed. Hopefully for another 20 years.
For sure and certain. What's I see the best case scenario is 15 months away from the races and he comes back. Is there anything special you can do? Will you look at the platement treatment? Is that an option? What's the vet saying?
On the vet that did my scans last night, yeah, he said there's a really good chance because the hole is contained within the suspensory. It's not broken out it hasn't blown the side out of the suspensory. It's a sort of a hole straight down through the middle. And he thought it was a good chance, and he'll be in the process this morning of checking up with Ballarat Vet Clinic, who do the operation. I've had one done before on my old horse Crescent Glory, and with great success. That was a bit ironical, wasn't it? So we'll be looking at that. It's not a very dear operation. It's, a few grand, but now he's won a fair bit of money for us. So that's where we're looking at the moment. Bit of rehabilitation, then 6 months in the paddock, and then a bit of slight jogging, I suppose, for, light work. We'll probably have to do a bit of walking and all that sort of stuff. But we'll get that done, or I'll do it myself. And hope for the best. That's all you can do.
So you milked your last cow yesterday, and then you get the tragic news that Sparkling Success has got the injury. So it was a happy and sad day all rolled into one.
Yeah, well, you don't have to look far in the world or in your next door neighbour or whoever you want to look at, and you can find someone worse off than me.
Good way to look at it, mate. Really, really good outlook on life. Thanks very much for fronting up this morning. I know it would be heartbreaking because you've got a son over in America who you were going over and you're going to catch up with. And is that still a possibility? Any chance that you're still going over? Or
there's 99.99 chance I'm going to be on the plane on Sunday night.
Mate, congratulations.
Everyone that was going to go is going to go, and I think if the Yonkers Club. What I think they probably are, they'll look after us pretty well because I haven't ripped anyone off.
Mate, I think you'll be right. I think you'll be right. I think you would have been a star over there with your horse. I think you'll be a star over there without your horse. Thanks for joining us this morning, and all the best of luck with his recovery.
You're going to put that on the gig next week?
Mate, we will definitely do something with it. We're just having a chat this morning how we deal with it, but I'll be in contact with you.
Thank you very much.
No problems. There he is. Yeah. Thanks, John. There he is, John Mead, who joined us to have a chat. Very emotional guy. I didn't get the feeling something was wrong yesterday when I was conducting the interview, but he did, like you probably picked up there, he went to break down three or four times when we were chatting, and when I was doing the interview, he did exactly the same thing. So whether he's just an emotional guy or whether everything was coming through, but he did say that it has been an extremely stressful time for him. He hadn't been sleeping. He just wanted to get to Saturday. He just wanted to get the horse on the plane. He just wanted to get to America. Keep in mind that John Mead has trained 63 winners in his career. He's been training for 30 years. He's trained 63 winners in his career. He has got a once-in-a-lifetime horse that has got within a week of going to America to race in a $1 million race, and his dream's gone up in smoke. So it is very unfortunate, but we do wish him all the best of luck with Sparkling Success as he goes about his rehabilitation. Speaking of a horse that's gone through rehabilitation and got back to the track, this is a really, really good story. Better Match. We spoke with Cole Thomas on the show going back 6 months ago, maybe a little bit less, when the horse Better Match returned. And he looked to be a horse that was getting ready to do something pretty special. He was obviously a very talented baby, and he won all of those races consecutively. He started favourite in a Gold Crown final. Something was wrong, and Cole Thomas explained that there was a few little issues with him and he had to have a long time off, but he's come through those, and obviously the breathing issue is no longer an issue, and all of a sudden he was nominated for the New Zealand Cup, and no one could work out why, but Tim Butt might be able to tell us the story, because he now is the new trainer of Better Match, and he's joining us on the show. Morning, Tim.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, obviously there was things happening. Is that basically why the nomination went in for Better Match before the sale had fully gone through?
Yeah, we were negotiating at the time, and the New Zealand Cup nominations closed, you know, prior to confirming the deal. So, the owner was happy for us to nominate him, and you know, we were naturally going to incur the costs if we didn't go through with the sale. But, you know, so, yeah, he's 50-50 to go. At the stage, he's got to progress in the right direction. But a lovely horse, Greg.
He is. He was a very, very talented juvenile. There were obviously some problems, but the couple of races that he had early on in his preparation said he's obviously past those issues, and Cole Thomas said that there's no worries about that going forward. So you've obviously had your vets look at him, and you're happy with that pushing through?
Yeah, we've did a lot of homework on us, you know, as the reason for him being out, and you know, decide to take the risk and think it's worth it. You know, he's such a lovely horse, and really untapped, and you know, having that time off and that time to mature, you know, it's a real plus for an older horse. And you know, what he did at Menangle 2 or 3 starts back, you know, not many horses could do that. So you know, it gave me a lot of confidence in the horse, and as I say, he's just got to change environment and just see what he gets up to. But you know, he's fitted in really well, got a great nature, and, you know, to me, he oozes the class of, you know, some of the great other horses I've had.
Yeah, Tim, it's interesting because a lot of the Australians would see that you come over, you know, going back, you know, a decade ago, and you'd come across and you'd bring over these nice horses, and people associate, you know, all these top horses with the Tim Butt stable, but you would go and source those horses, some of those horses from stables within New Zealand, like you've done with this horse, wouldn't you? You'd go and see a nice horse and go and make an offer to buy that horse and take him into your stable and then get him to that next level. Is that basically how it happened with some of those nice horses that you've had in the past?
Yeah, that's pretty much our core business. You know, looking at a horse with potential, and you know, not necessarily improving it any, but just managing it, you know, on the grand circuit, and know how to travel it, and know how to develop it, really. So and you know, you fine tune it with practice, and you make a lot of mistakes along the way, but yeah, that's what we generally did. We also had yearlings, and some of them come up and ended up great horses as well. But Field Marsh is an example of that. But, you know, a majority of our horses we picked out and bought them as going, and, you know, as said, tried to take them to the next level.
Well, the big question, are their shares still available? If there's people on listening to this, can the stable be contacted and people buy shares in Better Match who could be aimed at some of the biggest races in Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, there's a couple, but they're going pretty quick, I think. So, yeah, there's a couple of shares left at the moment. So, it's, you know, it's great because you're buying a horse at that elite level, and it's just a matter of whether he, you know, whether he goes on with it, whether the wind problem, you know, ever resurfaces. But, you know, as I said, you can't find horses of this calibre, and you know, and to be able to buy them is, you know, it's just the risk, you know, the fact that he had to come to Menangle and race or on the bigger circuit. So, it just all fell into place.
And you have managed horses with wind problems in the past really well. Obviously, Myfield Marshall's a great example of that.
Well, technology and treatments have got better, and also the operations have got better. You know, I think that's the key. The point of operation 10 or 15 years ago wasn't as good as it is now, and with techniques and technology, it's really improved, and people, you know, vets, et cetera, got experience with it, and you know, so, you know, I think you've got more chance of getting them back to the races and being competitive.
So when do we see him step out for the Butt stable?
I'm hoping within the next fortnight, he needs to get going if we are going to go to the New Zealand Cup. You know, as I said, I think he's a great stayer. He feels like a great stayer. And, it's not an overly strong field this year. And, I think he could be up to them. So, I really like to take him over there because I just think the race and the sort of horse would love it, But Evans, as I said, Greg, Evans has got to fall into place. And, we're just making sure he's nominated and progressed. But, if I don't think he's up to it, he won't be going.
Sure. And what about Myfield Marshall? Is he back in work yet?
No, he'll come back at the end of the month. So I'm heading back to New Zealand next week just to watch my daughter play hockey. So I'm looking forward to that. So he'll come back in after that. And, we'll build the team up nicely and, start racing a few from then on.
All right, mate. Well, it's an interesting story. We wish him all the best. Wish you all the best of luck with him. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear that your phone's run hot with a couple of people trying to get into the horse this afternoon.
No, cheers, Greg.
Thanks, mate. There he is, Tim Butt. Obviously, Miracle Mile winning trainer this year, but you want a horse that could potentially go to the New Zealand Cup later in the year to be trained by, a guy that can win every race, every big race in Australia and New Zealand. It's you can get in at the level where they've got a horse with an untapped his record is unbelievable. I mentioned the fact that he was a very talented juvenile Better Match had that long time off with the wind problem, but since then they've obviously had him well checked out. He's had the 12 starts. He's won 10 of them. He's banked $91,000 in his career, and he's gone 151.3 already. And he's got that really big, strong determination, and he does look like a really good stayer. So it'll be interesting to see what Tim Butt can do with him. We might continue with the New Zealand flavour. Mick Guerin is going to join us now. Of course, the racing editor for the New Zealand Herald. We hear Mick quite often on the show. And, of course, big day for New Zealand harness racing after what happened last week. And I thought we'd catch up with Mick and find out what the latest is and have a chat on a few different issues as well. Morning, Mick.
Good morning, Hazy. Big hi to everybody in Sydney. I hope they're all going well on the punt, and the week's going well. The news today, Hazy, is this. Most people who are caught up, including several well-known horse people in New Zealand, in what's called Operation Inca, which is into two things, race fixing and recreational drugs. No performance-enhancing horse drugs are involved. About 8 or 9 of those people have appeared or are due to appear in the Christchurch District Court today. Just an hour or so ago, the judge has suppressed all names involved in the case and all charges. So basically, while the specifics are available on court documents to the media of the names and of the charges, those have been suppressed and therefore won't be in the public domain today. Most of the horse people involved have had name suppression granted until at least their next hearing. One person did not seek name suppression, but that person is now covered by the judge's overall ruling of name suppression. So at the moment, Hazy, things are a little bit in shutdown mode as we talk about these alleged offences on those two fronts.
Sure and certain, understand where we are legally. What about a decision last week by the Addington Club, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, to ban all non-racing media from Addington at the program at their race meeting last week. Did that surprise you? Does that not create a little bit of an us versus them in the media and therefore with the non-racing public?
First of all, I don't think the public care. I mean, the public don't care about most things about the media. Let's be honest, the public distrust most of the media. They won't care what happens to the media. I think the media care what happens to the media. They weren't banned, actually, from Addington. They were banned from going to the stabling area and to going into the grandstand where there was a major function because they didn't want reporters putting microphones in front of people's faces and saying, what do you make of horse racing? Do you think it's crooked? When some poor bloke's rocked up with his missus, to go to a function on behalf of a sponsor. They could have gone to the general areas of the racetrack and they could take footage from there. So, look, I think it's blown out of proportion. I think on a day where tempers were running high and a lot of people feel anger and disappointment, whether that's just the horse people involved, the authorities, the police, I don't know. People have different emotions, Hazy. I think it might have been a mature thing to do because once you have a sound bite in a camera, you can replay it for 100 years and it can be on the internet forever. So I've got no issue with Addington doing that. Footy clubs do it all the time. So So, as I said, I've got no problems with anybody saying at times of extreme stress, some areas are restricted. For example, you can't just walk into the Canberra Raiders changing sheds, even though you're a huge fan of the Green Army.
Yeah, sure. What about the future for the sport? Obviously, post all the investigations and what comes out of this, how does harness racing in New Zealand move forward?
Look, it's obviously in a better position than harness racing in Australia, because who's had similar scandals, obviously, because the market share is a lot larger. But the market share is going to take two hits. It's about 27% domestic racing coverage is harness racing betting in New Zealand, and that's going to take a hit in its funding from the Massara report, if that's all put into play. They'll get less money, simple as that. And you're going to lose some owners out of this. Some people, a lot of harness racing people roll with the dice on this sort of stuff. I don't think it bothers some people as much as it bothers other people. That's their right. But you're going to lose some owners. You're going to lose some yearling sales involvement. Is it going to see a mass exodus? No, I don't think so. I think we're going to end up talking about three or four races. But yeah, it's going to leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. And also, these horse people have had their licences suspended pending, you know, what happens today and court cases going forward. So you could have some major names in the industry not driving on New Zealand Cup Day. And that's going to be a weird feeling. It's going to be an impossible thing to ignore if, in fact, that happens. Obviously, I saw a recent case in Victoria where the alleged offenders who have now been found guilty were allowed to drive while they were going through the court process. In New Zealand, I would presume that will be what will happen as well. But at the moment, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of disappointment on all sides of the industry and a lot of shock, which is still coming to grips with people, Hazy, because they don't know the facts yet. We don't know what is on the bugging, the surveillance by the police. And until we hear that, we won't know if this was a sophisticated betting race-fixing thing or whether this was people being stupid at low levels of low-level involvement of money. So I have my suspicions on that. This is in front of the courts. I'm not going to elaborate on those. But, yeah, Hazy, it will continue, and I would suggest once the hearings happen today, most of them will be very short, and they probably won't be heard again for 3 or 4 weeks. So the industry will go into this limbo, with the biggest question being, will these people be allowed to train or drive at the races during that time?
All right, Mick, thank you very much for that. I know it's a busy day for you. Thanks for giving us some time.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, mate. Thank you.